praise team a hand, you guys. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for consistency. You know, every time I've come to church, I always feel his presence. And, you know, I've been to lots of churches through my journey as a Christian, I should say. And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't have what we have here at Crossway Community Church. And I know sometimes I've taken it for granted, and maybe you have too. But I just want to encourage us to really look at what we have here. It's not about numbers, but God is about to do some numbers. How many believe that and can see that in the spirit? Amen. There's some things going on. But it's just nice to be able to go into a place where God, the master of the universe, is here. Amen. And there's nothing that we can't get from him out of the spirit. While we were even singing that song, you know, I just see people reaching out and saying, God, heal me. I just see people reaching out because he's the only one that could do it. Amen. But to be able to create that reality that God is here and to have your faith going full bloom and grab it, that's awesome. So we're at an exciting church, and I just want us to keep our people in prayer, keep Pastor Greg in prayer. I don't think this was by any happenstance that things went the way they did today. It just so happened that a message leaped in my spirit yesterday. I called my friend Brother Emerson and started tossing some things over, and we got to shouting together, and little did I know Pastor was going to eat something that got him sick. But I think the Lord, in a strange kind of way, may have thought he needed a rest anyway. So keep your pastor in prayer. But the good news is I've got a word from the Lord. Amen. You're not here just to fill time. Amen. God's got a message for you today. And whatever you need from the Lord, I want to encourage you to keep your faith open. Because we understand, those of us that love this cross, and even if you don't and you're learning it, you're going to find out shortly that it's all about proper faith. Amen. It's not how loud you cry. It's not how hard you cry. It's not how just simply how big your need is. But if your faith touches the arm of Jesus Christ, amen, that cross, hallelujah, what he did for us on Calvary, God guarantees you some activity. He guarantees it, and he'll do it for us today. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, I just come to you right now by the authority in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you for another day, a day to be in your house amongst your saints. Father, it's a privilege. And Lord, what you started working in me, I need you to finish it today. Lord, the need of the people, Father God. Lord, we need a word from you, Lord. Just a simple word from you changes everything. And Father, those of us that are in the valley of change, in the valley of decision, Lord, things are at stake. Things are in the auction block for us, Lord. I just ask you to give us an understanding word that we can move and take a direction that we may not have did outside of this word today. Father, it's going to take you through the movement and operation of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Mark, the 4th chapter. The title of this message is, It Ain't What It Looks Like. It Ain't What It Looks Like. I want you to know sometimes things may look a certain way, but I'm here to tell you it ain't what it looks like. You remember the mirrors that you would go to in the fairs and in the carnivals, and they got all those warped looks to them, and you look and you're like, wow. But, you know, us being adults, we understand that I don't look like that. I just looked in the mirror. Well, some don't. That's not an opportunity to crack on me today. But it ain't what it looks like, amen? And sometimes situations and circumstances will tell us, and it actually speaks to us. And sometimes the message in your situation can be louder than the message that God's trying to tell you. But I'm here to tell you today, this pitiful preacher is going to tell you it ain't what it looks like. Hallelujah. And in Mark, the 4th chapter, we're going to talk about Jairus. And there's actually two stories intertwined. We're going to capitalize on Jairus. But right after Jairus, we're going to catch the tail end of the other story of the woman that touched the hem of his garment. And that's a message all in and of itself, but we're not really going to labor that one today. But if we start at verse 21, it says, and when Jesus was passed over again by, when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him and was near unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue named Jairus. And when he saw him, he fell to his feet, verse 23, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you, come and lay your hands on her, that she might be healed and she might live. Stop right there. Something the Lord had me to stop at and point it out to me. This picture you see of Jairus with his 12-year-old daughter dying, he had to go very far to even get to Jesus. Amen. And when he got to Jesus, he fell to his feet and he worshiped him. And in that worship, he actually cried out to him. And when he cried out to him, and this is actually Mark the 5th chapter, I'm sorry. Did somebody figure that out? All you scholars sitting there looking at me? Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Actually, it's verse 21 and 22 and 23. And Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side. Much people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one, a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you, come lay your hands on her, and she shall be healed, and she shall live. The Lord showed me a picture in this. One of the biggest problems why people don't come to the cross, they really don't see a great need like this. One thing God will use, and maybe some of you are going through a great need right now in your life. When you have the greatest need, let me tell you, sometimes it works out the most worship that you'll ever see. My mind goes back to our family years ago, you know, and we joke about it now in kind of a serious way. But we were in a household where we weren't even allowed to go to church. You talk about bondage. My father was literally demon-possessed, and he stopped us from going to church. I mean, he launched war. And at the time, give you a little clarity, my mother wasn't even at first going to a church. She thought it was church. She was just looking for God. But she was going to actually looking for Jesus. She stumbled across even Spiritism, which is real goofy stuff. But she called it church, and my father never even said nothing. He was like, okay, go ahead and go to church. But once we started going to a church that had the Holy Ghost in it, you know, and that was full of the Spirit, immediately I'm going to church, rah, you know, because that demon knew. And we were forbid to go. And God gave us a breakthrough one day. I never forget a lady named Mrs. Walls. She knew how to pray. And she said something happened. And what happened, that little church prayed around the clock every hour to try to help the Warfields out. And my dad just all of a sudden said, you can start going back to church. And we ended up having this freedom, even more freedom, after a divorce took place because of some real treacherous things that was going on. Here we've got this freedom to serve God any way we want to. And it actually seemed like our commitment went backwards. The weirdest thing. But, you know, there's a message in that. Because when you're having to be forced to praise God, sometimes you praise God a little harder. I know when I was losing my home just 3-4 years ago, that's when the message of the cross came to me. At the point of my biggest need, I was reaching out and looking for Jesus. And I see that same picture in this guy. His daughter, 12-year-old daughter, is on her deathbed. Some of you that have children, that's the worst picture you could ever paint. Your daughter's dying. And the picture you have here, he comes to Jesus, and he falls at his feet, and he's truly worshiping. You know why the body of Christ can't worship? They don't see the sin nature as really a problem. Amen. They've been told that you're so good, that the lion inside of you, brother, if you just think more positive, brother, if you just try a little harder, you're really a great person. Let me tell you, this Bible doesn't say we're a great person. This Bible says all have the sin nature and are continually falling short of the glory of God. And that message is messing up the body of Christ. And we can't get the spirit of Jairus where we can fall at the feet of Jesus and begin to worship and cry out. Amen. And when that begins to happen, you know what happens? There's a begging that takes place. And now, don't get me wrong. We don't beg God for nothing. But understand, the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, amen, for they shall see the movement and operation of God. They're going to see him, amen. But there was a poorness in his spirit where he said, man, you've got to help me. My daughter is on her deathbed. Please, Jesus, come. And some of you might be sitting in this audience or under the sound of my voice. And maybe you're like, you know what, Lord? If I don't get a breakthrough, my bills aren't going to get paid today. Lord, if something doesn't happen, my son's going to get killed out in them streets. If something doesn't happen, I'm going to lose my mind. Lord, if something don't happen, I think my husband's going to put his hands on me. Lord, if something doesn't happen, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is where Jairus was. And I don't want to skip past it unless you truly understand he had a great need. Hallelujah. But one thing he did right. Hallelujah. He didn't consult the local psychologist. Glory to God. He didn't consult the soothsayer. Amen. He didn't go to Walmart and find a book on the topic. He didn't go to the Christian bookstore that sells garbage and find something that dealt with his topic. He went to Jesus. Ha-ta-la-bo-ku-sha-ta. He went to the master. Hallelujah. And if the body of Christ will go to the master, amen. God's got something for you. He'll set you free. Glory to God. He'll fill the cupboards. I'm going to testify about it. My wife told you the other day, not only did he get her a job, it's the right job. Glory to God. Amen. Comes home smiling all of a sudden. And man, we should have did this a year ago. But God is good. Amen. But it says in verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed and thronged him. I want you to know that Jesus went with him. Jesus will go with you. Amen. If you worship the Lord from a point of a heartfelt need. Now, I don't preach begging to God and just getting loud moves, God, because it doesn't. But when you understand that you're spiritually bankrupt, amen, when you understand that there's nothing I can do, I can't add anything to the equation. That's why the Pentecostal experience is dying in America. You know why? We're too afraid to get ugly sometimes. We're too afraid to be what we really are, messed up. Ha-ta-la-bo-sha-ta. We're too afraid to show that we're really messed up because of the sin nature. And I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't care how dignified you think you are. God doesn't care how many degrees you got besides your name. He wants to know, are you looking to my son and what he did on Calvary? Because if you do, he'll go with you. Hallelujah. He will go with you. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed, and they thronged him. Amen. We're going to skip down because we're not going to go into the woman with the issue of blood. But how many of you remember the story? Kind of recollect that he's actually going to follow Jairus because Jairus tugged on him. And as a result, somebody else gets their needs met. That's how this cross thing works, man. When my brother got the cross, I felt the need in my heart. Something he was saying was stroking me. I was in a church trying to get into church politics, and I'm not a politician at all. You just leave it long enough, I'll mess up the words, I'll make you look bad and make the church possibly look bad. Don't put me in that kind of category. But, you know, to use what God gave me, I found myself having to play this game. And Mike, my brother, would call me up and say, you know what, Mahari? The problem is they don't preach the cross. And I'm like, no, it's not that. Oh, I used to tick him off. But you know what? because he got a breakthrough, it was a breakthrough for me too. Amen. Because he got a breakthrough, I was like the woman with the issue of blood. I was there to catch the hem of his garment. Why? Because he went with my brother. But I'm here to tell you today, if you let Jesus follow you, amen, if you tug on him and get him to come to your situation, there's neighbors that's going to see you. Amen. There's people at the bookstore that's going to see you. There's people at the grocery store that's going to see you. There's people on your job, Monique, that's going to see it. Amen. There's people on my job. A testimony, even in this, my boss, who's I'm with Verizon Wireless. Pardon me for drinking. I'm taking medication. My mouth gets super dry. But with Verizon Wireless, and the Lord's got me moving up in that management part. And once again, I'm not that guy. And there's a lady a couple levels up. She's strictly business. I mean, that's who she is. And she began to tell me that my style of managing, she said, "You're a preacher, right?" I'm like, "Well," and I'm like, "What has this got to do with anything?" And she's like, "Well, you minister, right?" I was like, "Well, yeah." And she said, "Well, that format doesn't work good in business. You won't be able to get your team where you're going using that style." Don't get me wrong, I don't sit there and preach the cross to these people. But I will tell them, I feel like it's a message. I don't care what it is, it's a message. Well, it began to mess with my spirit, and I'm like, "Lord, is she coming against the Jesus in me? You know, why did she pick those words?" Well, about a week later, and I hope she don't go to our website and hear this, but a week later, she calls me over to talk to me. And she said, "Well, I want to look at your folders and see some of the work you did." And usually they just try to pick me apart. And she wasn't even listening. It was like the Charlie Brown cartoon, "Womp, womp, womp, womp," you know. And we got done, and she said, "You know what?" She said, "Yeah, you could close that up." She said, "I'm really feeling kind of bad today." And I was like, "Okay." And she said, "You know what? I'm really struggling with some things." And I said, "Well, what's going on?" And she said, "Now, this ain't really considered work. We won't tell nobody." I was like, "Yeah, okay, we won't tell nobody." So she starts unloading to me the fact that she's taking psychotropic medication, the fact that her life is really is in shambles because of this, or is going in that direction, I should say. She's been so scared to go to the doctor, but yet she's going to the doctor because she believes everything's going to go wrong. She believes her marriage, she's got a beautiful, the picture-perfect family. I said, "Well, ma'am, you've got a beautiful family. What? Everything looks good." She said, "I know, but I feel like it's going to fall apart." She said, "It's so bad that tomorrow I'm going to the doctor to have him put a tube down my throat, and that every doctor's told me I have no problem. But," she said, "that stupid WebMD, I keep going and logging on, and I keep believing the reports that it says." She said, "I've been doing this for years." And she said, it's really hurting me. And I said, "Ma'am," she said, "first," she said, "would you pray with me?" And I reached my hand across that table right in the middle of a food court in the mall with thousands of people walking. And she bowed her head and rededicated her life. Asked Jesus Christ to come into her heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I knew, I said, "You know what? When she was tugging on me about the style, being a minister, she was really trying to see, does he got something that I can use?" And that's what they're doing to his church. They're wondering, is that cross you're talking about really going to work? Because they're running out of options. The last doctor she went to wasn't going to do nothing for her. She's hoping, is it really real? They won't tell you because the pride, heck, look at the pride we got. And I think it might be a little better than maybe those that don't even have the cross, but pride is ugly, man, and it won't let you. I know when my brother was telling me which direction to go, I knew he was right, but I couldn't just say, "Okay, you're right." You know, I had to fight it a little bit, and that's what they're doing. So anyway, found out she used to work at a Christian bookstore before she went up into management, and she said at that time she was definitely a Christian and loved the Lord. And she said, and I told her, I said, you know, all this stuff is fear-based, and perfect love cast out fear, if you remember the scripture. She said, yes, I do. And I told her, Jesus said his eye is on the sparrow. Somebody needs to hear this in this room today. His eye is on the sparrow. Amen. And she said, oh, I used to love that scripture. So the next day, she went to the doctor's appointment. I text messaged her a song about his eye being on the sparrow. And she texted me back and said, awesome. And I said, boy, sounds like you're back. She said, oh, yes, I am. And she's been a different woman ever since she came back. Give God a hand. Amen. Amen. But that's what happens when Jesus goes with you. Amen. Somebody else gets affected. When Jesus goes with you, there's people that need it. So this woman with the issue of blood just happens to be in his path. Hallelujah. So let's go to verse 34, and I'm going to catch the tail end of her story. It says, and he said unto her, daughter, your faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. You know what? Stop right there. I thank God that the message of the cross is consistent. It didn't say that your attendance to church made you whole. Amen. It didn't say that how much scripture verses you read made you whole. It didn't say because you went to the right program it made you whole, but because you got proper faith. Amen. Because it's not the quantity of faith. Amen. It's not in how much, but it's having the right faith, and your faith has made thee whole. I'm here to tell you, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, amen, you can be made whole. Hallelujah. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, he's got some movement for you. Amen. It's not the end. It's not what it looks like. Somebody say, it's not what it looks like. Glory to God. Going down to verse 35. While he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou you, the master, any further? You know, there's always going to be those that are bucking us. You know what? It's too far gone. Brother or sister, you're too far done in those drugs and alcohol. You know what? Go to AA, get you some sobriety. You know what? This cross stuff you're on, you're just going too far with it. Amen? You're going way too far. You know, that's another way they'll say, you know what? I understand you believe God's going to meet your needs financially, but I'm telling you, I planted a seed to that television evangelist. You ain't got nothing to lose. Don't you dare do that, child of God. You do that, you're slapping Jesus Christ in the face. You know why? Because it does not say in this book that if you give, that God's going to set your kids free. If you give, he's going to heal you sick. But he said only if you, hallelujah, put your faith in the plan and what Jesus Christ did on Calvary, then grace moves. Hallelujah. And that's what she did. But now we're getting to the point where verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. I thank God for that. How many of you have been hearing a word that almost came against what you've been taught in this cross? But as soon as you heard it, the Holy Ghost rises up in you and said, nah, that's not the cross. Amen. Amen. That's what just happened right there. It said as soon. Hallelujah. This is what God showed me. There's something going on in the spirit right now. God's going to prove a point to this world. Why do you think Sun Life Television is doing what it's doing right now? You think that's a coincidence that it's worldwide? No, it's not. Because God's proving a point to this world right now. And I'm here to tell you, he said as soon as they said it. He said, nah, it's not what it looks like. Hallelujah. And that's what he's saying to you today, church, that the world might be in your ear telling you that you're going too far with this cross. They might be saying, nah, it's not quite as deep as you're trying to make it. It's, you're taking this thing too far. But I'm here to tell you, it's not what it seems like. Don't you dare go resort to psychology. Don't you dare go and resort to giving gifts to people to try to get something else accomplished. Don't you dare go to turning to fables and law, because any form of law that they've got out there will not produce the movement and operation of the Holy Ghost. It will not do it. It won't do it. And Jesus said, as soon as he heard the word that was spoken, He said unto the rulers of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Hallelujah. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the rulers of the synagogues, and seeing the tumult of them, he wept and wailed greatly, and those that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why do you make this ado and weep? The damsel was not dead, but sleeps. You know what the Lord told me to share with you on this? You can say you believe in the cross, but I'm going to tell you what, if you're consulting these other forms of law, your faith's not in the cross. Why are you weeping if I've made the move for you? Why are you doing that if I've already paid the price? Church, why are you consulting the latest book at the bookstore when I told you the deliverance is in the cross? Why are you still listening to that goofy person on television pointing you to law when I told you it's an exclusive message that only goes one way? You can't have it both ways. Jesus already said, I've delivered you. Amen. He's already said that it's not what it looks like. So why are we weeping? Why are we doing what's customary in those days, which was to have a bunch of people weep for the dead? I can understand that. But how many of you know she's not dead? Hallelujah. She's not dead. Somebody spoke a word that had power. Hallelujah. And he said, she's going to get up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why do you make the ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but she sleeps. You know what? It's not dead, it's just sleeping. Your financial situation, it's not over. It's just a test. Hallelujah. Your kids that might be hooked on drugs and alcohol, it's not to their demise, it's for a testimony. Amen. God's making a testimony out of them. Some of you that say, you know, I still am insecure about who I am and what I can do. You know what? It's not what it looks like. You're the apple of God's eye. God loves you more than he loved anybody else. Amen. He's going with you because you asked him. Amen. It's not what it looks like. You might say, well, you know what? I've never felt so bad in my life. I'm at the point of it's terrible. It's not what it looks like. Hallelujah. Verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he was put them all out and took the father and the mother and the damsel, and them who were with him, and entered into the damsel was lame, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, arise. Let me stop right there. Imagine laughing Jesus Christ to scorn. Imagine laughing him to scorn. How many of you got people that laugh you to scorn when you talk about the cross of Christ? Boy, I don't know what circles y'all are in, but it ain't too popular around the parts that I'm around. Amen. They laugh. They think you're crazy. They think you've gone too far. And you're talking about the very gospel. Amen. The very foundation of this word. Amen. The very thing that everything moves off, the law of the spirit. I'm here to encourage you. It's not what it looks like. Look what he ran them all out. Get them out. Get those jokers out. You know why? They're not there to help you. They're there to hinder you. Amen. You're trying to get a breakthrough, and these clowns are trying to tell you it's in something. Cut them off. Some of you might got friends. Nothing's wrong with having friends, but I'm going to tell you what. If they're in your ear trying to tell you, take you another direction, that's demonic. Amen. Friendship and demonic is two different things. And some of you might be dabbling with other churches. I don't know. You may be under the sound of my voice and doing it. I'm here to tell you what the Lord's telling you. Get rid of them, amen? Get them out. Get that stuff out of your thinking. Get it out of your spirit. Why? Because God's trying to arise the child, amen? God's trying to arise the child of God that's in you. How many of you know when the cross hit me, it was like I got saved all over again? That's proof positive that it hit you. Because I would have paid anything to have that experience I had when I first got saved. When I first got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, oh, my God. I told everybody at school. They knew I was a fireball for the Lord. You know, I couldn't help it. But you get some law in you. You go about 4, 5, 10, 15 years of this church stuff, what we've been exposed to in this era. And you know what? That child that's on the inside, that child of God, because that's who the damsel is. It's a picture of the child of God that's in you. Oh, I'd have paid to get her to rise up. I'd have paid to get that child to come back up. I'd have just like a Jairus going down there and saying, Jesus, please, could you raise her? I need you to go with me. That's how you feel when you're flipping those channels. That's how you feel when you're so discouraged that you turn to different forms of law. That's because of despair and how desperate we are. And people that are in it for the wrong gain and for money, they capitalize on it because they know you're hungry, that you're trying to get a breakthrough. They know you're trying to wake back up that zeal. You're trying to wake back up that joy. But I'm here to tell you, if you want to wake back up the damsel, amen, maybe it's not a financial breakthrough. Maybe it's not drugs knockout. Maybe your kids are fine. But I guarantee you somebody's got a child on the inside, the child of God that got saved years ago. And if you could have that girl come back up, you would love it. I'm talking to somebody, amen? And here's how you do it. You go get Jesus, amen? You tell him to come with you. You realize that you're really not a great person. After Christ, you're awesome. But before Christ, you're not good. We're born in sin, amen? And our sin nature is disgusting to God. But because of what Jesus did on Calvary, I can call out to him. I've got a right. I've got the authority to do it. And I say, come with me, Jesus. And you know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to tell you to get rid of those people that are around you. Get rid of that stuff, that nonsense that's taking you another direction. And you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, arise. Amen. Go down to verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he took the father and the mother and the damsel and them who were with him, and entered into the room where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, oh, hallelujah, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, arise. And straightway, whoo, the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with the great astonishment. And he charged them straightway that no man should know it, and commanded that something be given to her to eat. And you know what? That child of God that originally got saved, that child of God that we would pay money, in fact, some of us did. We got caught up in forms of law that costed us. It also costed us time. It costed us time. How many of you have been in churches where you get caught up in so many auxiliaries just to stay busy? Like that's going to produce sanctification? It don't work. You'd be a busy person sinning on the side. You know what I mean? It just don't work. And I'm here to tell you, God will wake up that experience that you had. Oh, he'll bring it back. He'll bring it back in full bloom, and he'll say, damsel, get up, amen? And he's the only one that can do it. Those people outside laughing him to scorn could never do it. That's why he got rid of them. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're under the sound of my voice, it's no coincidence that God dropped this message on me the day before. And I want you to know, if you all stand to your feet. And Michelle, if you had something to play. There's a type of a Jairus in all of us. There's a Jairus that's in dire need of a breakthrough. There's a Jairus that's got something at stake that's huge. You know, I'd like to see them take this stupid law to somebody who's a demoniac, who's cutting himself. I dare you to tell them to confess your way out of it. I dare you to go to the insane asylum and tell those people that, you know what, brother, just keep saying I'm the righteousness of God. Say it 8 times a day. I dare you to go to the most stenched crackhead on the streets and tell them that if you plant a seed of $100, God will take the desire out of you. I dare them to go to where the need is really great. Because when the need is real great, you know what happens? People that don't have an answer fall away. Because they're like, I don't want to deal with that because the scam I'm running might not work and I'm going to feel real bad. Some are so vicious that they'll even do it to those. But I'm here to tell you that what I've got for you today is not a scam. Amen. What I've got for you today is the plan that God originated before the foundations of the world. And I'm here to tell you that it works every time. And I don't care how deep the situation is. If you're dealing with health issues, he'll do it. I don't care if you're dealing with family dilemmas, he'll fix it. I don't care if it's a financial burden, he'll set you free. And I don't care if you're dealing with things in your mind. Maybe it's mental. Devil beats us up sometime and tells us that we're not good enough and you need to do more and everybody hates you. It's all kind of stuff that Satan puts on us. And you know what? There's all kinds of forms of law that we can mix with this cross. And all it does is frustrates the very grace of God. And sometimes it's scary. Like the other ruler that came to Jairus. Why bother? It's too bad. She's dead, man. And sometimes they say, you know, you're on this cross thing. There's really been no growth. You really haven't changed. You're still smoking. You're still drinking. You're still cussing. You're still getting mad. Whatever. I don't know. But you know what? I'm here to tell you, hold on to Jesus. Amen. It's not what it looks like. It's not what it looks like. And those people will come to you. And if it's not in form of people, it's in forms of thought. And those thoughts will come at you. And they'll tell you to just throw in the towel. But I'm here to tell you, like that little girl that he got out of the bed, there's a child on the inside of us that's waiting to be a rose. Bow your heads with me. Father, we come to you by the authority in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, a message is only words unless you touched it, Lord. And I believe it's time. It's a time word, Lord, that you ordain. And Father, I don't believe it's happenstance the people that's right in front. I don't believe it's happenstance who might have a CD in their car. But Father, I thank you that your word went to him and healed the sick. And Father, just like you went with Jairus, go with these people, Lord. And if you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got two things I want to ask. Maybe you've never been introduced to Jesus Christ in a saving knowledge where he'll take the emptiness and the pain away and start you on a path that maybe you've never even been before. Maybe you thought you did one time or a couple times, but now the understanding might even be a little clearer. If that's you, not to put you on Front Street, it may just only be this, but wave your hand at me, please. Give you a few seconds because God died for the sinner. Amen. He died that you don't have to be there. Number two, I'm talking to somebody that maybe there's an area in your life, not that you've thrown the cross away totally, but maybe you've got a need so desperate. Maybe there's a need so big that you found yourself not just holding to the cross. And when the word or the thoughts came that said, it's too far gone, leave that plan alone and just go in loss prevention, so to speak. Let's put a Band-Aid on this. Let's just hold the bleeding down. If that's you, just wave your hand at me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to also talk about those of us that have loved ones. If you've got a loved one or a friend of the family that you're praying and you're wanting God to give them a breakthrough, maybe there's people we're waiting for them to get this understanding of the cross. I want you to wave your hand to. Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that people, Lord, are going to come to you, Lord, just like Jairus did, Lord, with such a great need. And Father, as we take the gyrus experience, Lord, of worshiping from a heartfelt great need, Lord. People are going to actually get touched by you, Lord, like the woman with the issue of blood. Lord, use our lives. Lord, people just begin to raise your hands and pray to the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, begin to use us in a mightier way, Father. Lord, as we leave this place today, begin to take our lives in such a way that we're people, Lord, that we cross their paths or divine appointments, Lord, at the house, Lord, at the store, Lord, where we go to and fro, Lord, let there be divine appointments, Lord, where we can take you there and someone can get touched. Father, we need you on an ongoing day-to-day basis. And Father, we pray for Pastor Greg right now. Lord, give him not just a healing in his body, but Lord, give him a refreshing in his soul. Hallelujah. Lord, you ordained it to be that way. Father, you don't overwork your people. And Father, we just ask you to give him fresh refreshing, Lord. Give him a joy, Lord, that he never had before. Bring him back even, Lord, to that damsel experience, Lord. Wake him back up, Lord, because it's not once or twice. It's a continual refreshing. Give it back to him, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for this church, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for a freedom, Lord, where the cross can be proclaimed daily. Hallelujah. Lord, every time we get together, Lord, we hold to the bloodstained banner alone. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're waking up, Lord, a damsel in everybody, Father God. You're waking up a childlike experience, Lord, that we would pay money to get, Lord, that people even go to psychological couches for, Father, but we can get it so freely at the cross. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're the only one that can do it, and you clearly do because you're willing. If anybody has special need prayer, for a few moments we'll open the altar up. If anybody has a need that's pressing and you want to join your faith with, amen, come on down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Church, anybody else? Amen. Anybody else? Amen. If anybody has special prayer, and this is the time, church, where we just begin to worship. Amen. Where we just make it easy for the Holy Spirit to move, to make it easy for the person that needs prayer to press through. Amen. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Maybe you're standing in for another person in your life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen. Amen. Give God a hand today. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody have any announcements or anything to say? Amen. Well, God is good. Thanks for putting up with me. And we'll see y'all again, I guess, Wednesday. Our pastor definitely is probably not sick that long, so we'll be back Wednesday. And then Sunday again. Love all y'all in Jesus' name. Amen.